So, you got it, North Isle, you got your lines? Thank you. And watch out for the Middle Isle and South Isle in a moment. When, Paul says, the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law.
But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. You got that? That's quite amazing, isn't it? Anything you do is not in vain because of the resurrection. Last bit. All of us together. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was hoping to sit down at this point and we were just going to see a video clip from the resurrection. But the sound's not working, I gather. But we're going to see the video clip and I'm going to have to do the reading with it and hopefully it will stay in line. The words actually on the video clip are from John chapter 20. So all I've got to do is read John 20 and it should be all right. But if it goes horribly wrong, then bear with us, won't you? It's about about fallen man, God's grace and so on as well today. So we need the lights down for the video clip, but I should be able to see here, hopefully. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of the linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been. There was one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked a woman, "Why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was him. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. But Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Kind of worked, didn't it? Yeah, good, right, good. Good. We're going to have the lights back up again. And what I will say in a moment is this is the story that could not be made up. And maybe seeing the video might just help with that. Children, I'm very conscious there are children here, and it could be a long service with communion as well. All you need to know today is that, okay? And if adults, you can't get anything else from the sermon, don't worry. Just take that. Jesus is king of everything, okay? Right, that's the sermon, really. And maybe we should just pack up with there and just come with the rest of the service, but there will be a longer bit of that to come in a moment. So, but children, that's it. Jesus is king. If you'll let him be of your life, but of everything else, the church, how you live, about government, all the issues we face of Brexit, climate change, and all those sort of things, of the universe, Jesus is king of everything. And he's established that through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so, children, if you want to hear the sermon in a moment, then that's great, please do. But there are activities for you at the back there, and if you want to do those, please do. Here's one I made earlier, and there's I think it's very lovely. You can just go and colour those in with the pens that are there, and it says on here with the cross, he is risen. So at some point, this is children, adults are looking for quite interested in doing this. If you'd like to go off and do that at some point during the next 20 minutes or so, or during communion, then please do that. And there are, as usual, there are one or two other activities there as well, puzzles and so on. So don't feel trapped in the pews, children, but do go over, it's back of the back south aisle over there. But before we do that, let's sing our next song, the wondrous story that we celebrate today. Oh, gone too far. He used to shout, the Pope is French, but Jesus Christ is English. And that just shows that our relations with Europe have never been as quiet as what they might be. And perhaps it's very apt in these days of Brexit to give that quote when it seems like all that might go on for another 100 years as well. But do not fear, that is not actually the point today. Rather, that sentiment, does it not, show how tempting it is to try to fit Jesus into our own image? You probably don't think Jesus Christ is an Englishman. Actually, they really did. They did think that he was an Englishman. But nonetheless, it's quite possible that we try to make Jesus fit with our perceptions and lifestyle. Maybe we regard him as a good teacher, a good moral man, a person to be admired. But the Jesus of the Bible does not allow us to do that. As we've been seeing through these weeks of Lent, simply Jesus, his life, his kingdom. The conclusion that the early Christians came to, proclaiming as he comes into on Palm Sunday, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. They came to see that he's king, absolute king. And this is why they got into so much trouble with the Romans and the Jewish authorities and so on. Their civil disobedience, effectively, if you like, because they proclaimed that Jesus is king. And as Tom Wright, the Bible scholar, says, this means king of everything. King of your life, king of life, art, the universe, justice, death, money, politics, philosophy, culture. And if we try to just leave Jesus as a moral figure, a good teacher, then we will always be conflicted because you cannot be the human being that Jesus has established it means to be a fully human person. He has established what it means in the way that he led his life, what it means to be fully human. And we then are to be released to be so in the same way. So I hope and pray that this Easter day, that we may just be able to reflect again about how we understand the Jesus we celebrate today. That he will not just be a moral teacher or a good example or whatever, king, and actually shows us how to be human. Because it is indeed this, about being his victory over evil through being fully human. And again, we've been seeing this through the weeks of Lent, that the Jewish people knew, expected God's kingdom to come by the Messiah, but they never expected that the Messiah would come riding on a donkey, being humble, serving, suffering, giving himself in love. All those things that he did, that shows the way that he lived in his humanity. And why? Because this is the only way that evil is overcome. Remember the temptations in the wilderness? Is it about power? Is it about miracles? Is it about all those things? Putting the world to rights, stopping ISIS, knocking all those things on the head straight away? It can't be done. The only way that evil is overcome is by being a human being and entering in love to the places of evil and suffering. And that is exactly what Jesus does. And last Palm Sunday, we were thinking about all the way, all the things of evil that are going on in this holy week we've just celebrated. The devil is pouring everything he has onto that week, onto Jesus' life, throws it all at him, even to the final enemy of death. The devil chucks it all in and loses. Because Jesus goes on loving and serving, and the power of the resurrection comes. And so this is the King that we worship today. He has brought victory over evil, including death, by living in a fully human way, by loving and serving. And it's probably worth just noting for a moment, this is indeed a story that could not be invented, because the Jewish people, they would never have expected the Messiah to live like this, as we just said. And they wouldn't have thought it was God himself. They just wouldn't make that up. It would be so blasphemous, it could not be invented. And similarly, the Roman Empire, they thought it was, you read the books, read things about what the Romans were saying, what it was all about. It was about having power. Wealth, not so much, interestingly, but it was really about having power, wealth, some wealth, and self-indulgence. Jesus comes saying it's not about those things at all. It is about humility, it's about service, it's about loving, it's about giving yourself over and facing evil. And so it's such an extraordinary story, you just could not, would not make it up. The late American psychiatrist and author M. Scott Peck came to Christian faith late in his life. He was baptized at the age of 43, and he was trying to explore what it was all about. And when he started reading the Gospels, he said, I was skeptical. I really couldn't come to these things. 2,000 years ago, this was a story made up, surely. And he said this, I discovered a man so incredibly real that no one could have made him up. A man so incredibly real that no one could have made him up. And so this man, then this Jesus that the Christians understand is God, then you cannot ignore, surely. You cannot ignore. Rabbi Jacob Neusner came to that point of realizing that if he was to really understand, follow who Jesus was, he just could not ignore him. He was the leading scholar, he died in 2016, about Judaism and Christianity. And he studied the first century Jesus and the Jewish the people of that time, and he said he would have been so impressed by Jesus' teaching, like the Sermon on the Mount, in the first century, he would have been a follower. He would have followed Jesus because he was an outstanding rabbi and teacher. But he says also, at some point, I would have given up and left him because his claims were just too great. They were the claims that only God could make. And so again, then, this is the God, the Jesus that we worship today, fully human, and yet God himself making claims that only God can make. And so today, surely, the only thing we can do is, as Thomas will do a week later, as we remember Jesus appearing to him, he cries out, my Lord and my God. And I hope and pray that you could do that. Hope and pray that you'll just give in to him. It's not here, it's somebody I know sort of vaguely, and he's 100, more than 100 miles away from here, and I know him a little bit and understand him a bit. I just pray, please give in, because you're struggling through this life and just holding on to all this stuff, bad upbringing and so on. You're holding on to it all, and he's just proud and just will not give in. And I know, just know for all of us, just to be able to do that and say, I need to know what it is to be fully human. I need to give in. I need the lordship of Christ in my life. And when you do that, if you do that, you'll encounter God in Christ being there, loving you and forgiving you and accepting you. And I pray this for Jenny and my friend as well, that he will come to that point and just be able to do that, just give in his life and receive that love and acceptance. Because this is clearly what it's all about. It is about humility and service. It is about entering into suffering, but it all comes down to being about love. Jesus is propelled, motivated by love. Even on the cross, he cries out, forgiven, they know not what they do. After the resurrection, he deals ever, ever so gently with the people who so badly let him down, carrying on, being humble, caring, in love. So I pray this is the Jesus that we celebrate today, and I pray that you and I will go on wanting to be builders for his kingdom. Because as Jesus established, it only comes by living as a human that evil is overcome, so God entrusts humanity with the overcoming of evil. We are to be builders in God's kingdom, you and me. And as St. Paul celebrated, nothing is wasted. If you go in your own small way to confront the powers of evil in whatever they are, what manifestation, if you love and serve, nothing, it's a promise, will be wasted as you serve God in Jesus the King. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. And this is, again, we'll come back to helping others to give lives over to the authority of Jesus the King. Just one example. In 1991, the Soviet Empire was collapsing, and Philip Yancey, the Christian author, said he met with the editors of Pravda, the Soviet newspaper. They were completely disillusioned. Their circulation of Pravda had fallen from 11 million to 700,000 with the collapse of the Soviet Empire. And they remarked to Philip Yancey that Christianity and communism have many of the same ideals about sharing, justice, racial harmony, but they just had to admit to him that the Marxist project had failed miserably and that they had actually produced some of the worst nightmares of history. And what they put it down to, the crux of it was, they could not produce good human beings. The editor said this: "We don't know how to motivate people to show compassion. We tried raising money for the children of Chernobyl, but the average Russian would rather spend his money on drink. How do you reform and motivate people? How do you get them to be good?" This is where evil will be overcome, in the God who showed us in Jesus the full humanity and then inviting us to be fully human too, to be changed, to be good, good for his kingdom. And so the only response I want to suggest to you is to worship him, to give your life over to him, to let him be Lord of your life, to be fully human, to give a life of service, of humility, of handing over your life to him as well. And going in your own way to bring God's kingdom, your own little part. And the clue to it is worship. A worship of handing over self and worshipping Sunday by Sunday, week by week, that will be so vital. Tom Wright, the Bible scholar again, said this: "Worship creates, or should create, if it is allowed to be truly itself, a community that marches to a different beat, that keeps in step with a different Lord." The Lord is Jesus, the King, showing us how to be human and inviting us to be part of his kingdom, bringing his kingdom. Do you remember when we say the Lord's Prayer, which I think we do in the service, but we'll see. What does the first line say? Does it say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, bring us all to heaven, we're looking forward to it"? Does it say that? No. It says, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is on as it is in heaven." We are to be part of bringing God's kingdom to this earth. And so this sermon is not, as I said at the start, about Brexit, but actually it is. And actually it is about climate change. And actually is about all the troubles and problems that we face collectively and individually, because it's all about Jesus being King of our lives. And I do wonder if we'd had seen Jesus as King of our lives, if we'd lived in the way that he wanted us to, bringing his resurrection power, I do wonder what a different country we might have now and how we might not have got ourselves into some of the mess that we seem to be in at the moment. But let's come back and just celebrate that Jesus the King has shown us how to be fully human. He empowers us to do so. May we give our lives over to him and serve in his kingdom. Amen.